I've got a strange little thought on my mind tonight.
We know of a surety that this is the thing that the Lord wants. I mean,
amen.
So my thought tonight is it the body of Christ or is it group conformity? Now see, there's a big difference. Amen. Group conformity means that you come to a group, you conform certain ways, and I'm not here to throw rocks or anything, because God has His bride and He has all this other. But a lot of churches, they'll, everybody in it will dress the same. Everybody in it, the wear the hair the same. And if one don't have a television, none have a television. And all that, and they conform to certain rules and certain ways of doing things. And they say, we're one. And they say, that's what the Bible says, to be one. So we all try to be alike, I believe, where everybody, and if you go there, you'll do that. They might not criticize you a lot, but you just know that if you come there, you got to conform to what the group conforms to, or you're going to be out of place. So they come together, and like in one mind, you would think it would be like the bride of Jesus Christ. See, the bride of Christ has the mind of Christ. We're baptized into the body of Christ. And being baptized into the body of Christ, we have freedom. Yeah. Amen. In the body of Christ, everybody don't dress alike. Everybody don't look alike. And all that, and in the realm of making a living and living in this world, everybody don't do the same way. Amen. But when it comes to the Word, the spiritual things of God, we can't help it. Yeah. Amen. We're just drawn into it. Amen. Because we have the mind of Christ, and we're conforming to something, and we're not doing it because we have to, or that we'll feel uncomfortable if we don't. We can't help it. It's just in us. It's the Spirit of Christ bringing us into one.
Amen.
So, is it the mind of Christ, or is it group conformity? That's what we have to know in this hour, and I think we know. Amen. And a lot of times, we're not required to conform to any certain rule or regulation. We just love that Word. We love Jesus. And being in Jesus, baptized into His body by one Spirit, it makes us aware that we just love one another, and we have the freedom, but yet all the while we wind up thinking alike. See? Because the mind of Christ don't think two ways. Hallelujah. So I want to read a scripture that Paul brought in 1 Corinthians, and a scripture I've referred to a lot of times. In 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, verse 10, it says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no division among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Now, Paul began to refer to the church, the bride, amen, in its early stages, the sowing of the seed of it. And he began to bring in here that we should all speak the same thing, and we'd have the same mind, and we'd wind up having the same judgment about everything. Amen. Mm-hmm. Now, we're not trying to conform to a set of rules. And we're not trying to conform to how some preacher feel about it. Mm-hmm. Amen. Because God sends His Word, His mind, and we just automatically, we're predestinated to be part of that, and we can do no less. Amen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, there's another scripture here, and in the second chapter of 1 Corinthians, I'll just read it while I'm right here at it. It says, for who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? It says, but we have the mind of Christ. Now, God's got his way of getting his mind to us. Mm-hmm. Amen. How many knows it?
Amen.
And we begin to understand the mind of Christ. We begin to understand what the mind of Christ is for our day that we're living in and what God's to do. And we begin to feel that we are a member of the body, see? And Paul referred to that in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, that by one Spirit we've all been baptized into one body.
Amen.
Amen. And that don't mean that we conform to certain rules. Mm. That don't mean that nobody in church can have a television. That don't mean that nobody in church can trim the hair. The women, you know. Amen. And that don't mean that we got to conform and look alike physically. Amen. And the church I'm speaking of here, the one in particular, I believe some of you have been there, all the sisters has to wear dresses down to about the ankle, I guess, somewhere there, not very much off the floor. All of them has to, they have long hair, and except the older ones, all of them wear their hair down, but they can't trim it, not even cut the, what we call cutting the dead ends off. Amen, because nobody else does, and they're out of place if they do. They don't want to feel sore thumb. They don't want to feel like they're not blending. So what they do, for the sake of blending, they all conform to the same set of rules.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen, and it's conformity. And they will say, we're of one mind, and we're of one accord, and we do all, we all believe the same thing, do everything alike. But then you bring a little word in, at this particular church I'm speaking out here. I spoke there some time back, and I brought it in that we can't be saved this year and be lost next year. And we can't have eternal life today and lose it. And if we got eternal life, eternal means never had a beginning, never have an ending. We're joined to the Lord, and we cannot be lost no matter what.
Amen.
Needless to say, that's the last time I ministered that, because they feel like he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved.
Amen.
But they didn't know what that meant and who it was talking to. I'm not trying to endure. I've already got saved, see?
Amen.
Amen. Is that right?
Amen.
Amen. The end of the old man came when I found the Lord. Amen. Or rather, that he found me, he called me. He knew where I was all the time.
Amen.
He knew me because I was part of him. I was in him. And I was that Logos. Amen. Now, that Logos,
amen,
that's the word means the thought of God. King James interprets as word. In the beginning was the word. And some of the others say, in the beginning was the Logos, which is God's thought. You were in God's thought before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Amen. So therefore, that's why he put your name on the book. That's why he made you part of something. That's why he baptized you in the body. And you can't help it. You don't struggle. You just enjoy it. You just bathe in the sunlight of God's love and the love of God's people and the fellowship.
Amen.
And you don't have to feel like you're in a straitjacket. And you've got to please this one, you got to please that one. You please the Lord, and when you please the Lord, it pleases everybody else.
Amen.
Glory to God. How many knows it?
Amen.
So is it the body of Christ, or is it group conformity? There's group conformity that has nothing to do with being baptized into the body of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. It's a group of people that has certain rules and taught certain things, and over the years they're taught do this and that, and they conform to it. That's why every denomination, especially in the Pentecostal realm, they conform to certain things. And the Catholic way they dress, the priest put the dress on, and then the different ones that does different parts, they conform to a set of rules, you know. Amen. And in conforming to the set of rules, it doesn't make them right at all. They can all be in one accord. Amen. As long as they're conforming to belong to a group conformity, you say.
Amen.
Amen. I want to read a scripture in the book of Acts relating to this. It's in the book of Acts. It'll be in the 23rd chapter of the book of Acts. Now, in the book of Acts, chapter 20, Paul's ministry was winding down. Chapter 21, he went up to Jerusalem to the temple, and they told him, you see how many thousands of Jews here. They all believe and they're very zealous of the law. And it was a large group, thousands. They conformed to one thing, see. And they were in a group conformity. Yes, to be in that, you can be comfortable. You can feel like I'm part of something. Amen. But if you're a child of God, you were predestinated in Him before the foundation of the world, you're going to know there's just something missing.
Amen.
Amen. Is that right?
Amen.
Amen. But in the bride of Christ, amen, we have the full riches of Christ. He's given us all those spiritual riches, Paul said. And we're made to sit together in heavenly places.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's something I want to show you in group conformity. What can be when a group believes the same thing and they go the same way, got the same goals, got the same aims, got the same objective, yet going totally contrary to the Word, see.
Amen.
When Paul was taken prison, there was 40 men. They says, we'll not eat or drink till we've killed Paul. Now that was the Jews, see. And they conformed to such religious rituals and such strict manner of living that it would be hard. You couldn't touch their lives, Holly. Yet they, when it come to Christ, they reject Him, said, let Him be crucified. Mm-hmm. And Jesus spoke to them. They said, we know our Father. Our Father is Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said, I know your Father is Abraham in the natural, but says, my word has no place in you. That's the 8th chapter of the book of St. John. Amen. And he began to tell them really who their father was, even though they conformed to certain ways.
Mm-hmm.
The rituals, the priests and all, they had to be raised up as a priest, and their father had to be a priest, and all those things, so much strictness, the washing of pots, Paul speak of it in the book of Hebrews, about the washing of pots and all that. And as for Barbara and I listened to a minister on the internet the other week, and he says, you know, some people even think it ain't sin to drink wine. He says, you know, that's a big sin to drink wine. Well, it would be what to dip in on what to do with. But let's go to the New Testament and see what the Word says. Paul said, take a little wine for your stomach's sake and your often infirmity. And told Timothy, drink no longer water, but take some wine. There, you know, for your stomach's sake. Well, see, and if you go to the Jews in Israel today, there's different countries has customs, and they do have wine with their meal. And it's not one thing in the world wrong with it as long as it's in line. And if you've got the Holy Ghost, you got Jesus in you, you're going to know where the stopping point's at on these things, won't you?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. But let me read this one first because I get started preaching. You didn't miss it. But here Paul was taken prisoner. And here was a group, they were one. See, they were one. And they talked about loving God, and they probably did to the point as they knew what God was and who God was. But it's obvious that they didn't realize, amen, that Jesus Christ was that God walking in human flesh. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. In the beginning was the Word, and that's who we are.
Amen.
If He's the Word, then His life's the Word. If He's the Word, His body is the Word. Amen. He's still walking around here in human flesh. Not in one person, in His body, see.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I believe the Word is right here tonight in living, talking, walking form. Amen. And I don't think we're trying to conform to it. Amen. I believe that we're part of it. Amen. It conforms us to it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Do you that statement? It conforms us to it. Not that we have to conform to a group or being conformed to something in order to have fellowship.
Amen.
Amen. I love you whether you agree with everything like what I eat or the way I... Before I go or something, because you know I don't go out in the world do worldly things because the world's not in me, you know. But there's nobody going to follow you around saying, see what you do or see how you talk or all that. You're going to talk right.
Amen.
Hallelujah. How many knows that you're going to have freedom? You're baptized into the body of Christ. And there's no rules you have to conform to. There's the Word of God, and it conforms you unto it.
Amen.
Amen. There's a lot of group conformity today that Christ is not in.
Amen.
Amen. Now let me read this here. And the story picks up in Acts 21. Come on through. But I'm reading here in chapter 23. I'm going to pick up with verse 12. Of chapter 23, and Paul was taken captive because he went to Jerusalem. He wouldn't conform to their ways too much. He tried to fool around with them. God wouldn't let him do it. Amen. Because they were still doing certain sacrifices and all that. And there was thousands of them. See, but here, some of them didn't like Paul being there, and so they started to fuss, and they arrested Paul. But let me pick up verse 12 here. It says, And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded themselves together. It's called Paul then. Banded themselves together, group conformity, see. And bound themselves together under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they would kill Paul. Now, here's the most religious people in the world. They don't do it naturally now. But in one sense of the word, they'll try to do it. But see, there's a living Christ among us. This church ain't going down. It's going up. See?
Amen.
How many knows it?
Amen.
Praise God. But notice these here. They were the most religious people in the world. And they conformed together. We won't eat or drink till Paul's dead, till we kill Paul. Amen. Now watch as we read a little bit here. And they were more than 40, which has made this conspiracy. Now it was a large group, thousands there in the church and Jews in Jerusalem, probably a few million in all, but 40 of them says, we'll not eat or drink till we kill Paul. Amen. Now that's religion right there. See, that's the religion. The same one killed Jesus. The same spirit, you know. The same spirit that killed Abel in the garden, which was Cain, see. All the way through it just wound itself up into a religious system. And here, that's what it was producing. And then verse 14 says, and they came to the chief priest. Now, get this. The 40 that said we're not going to eat or drink till we kill Paul. Okay, they went to the chief priest. That's the leader. That's the one, the main bishop, and the one that's sitting at the headquarters. See, go to the headquarters of the Church of God. Oh, whatever you might say, you know. Amen. So, notice they made that covenant, but they went to the religious folks, went to the chief priest. The chief priest and elders and said, we have bound ourselves under a great curse that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul. Now can you, but that's almost unbelievable to read. That they were out to kill Paul and we're not going to eat anything until we kill it. And it was all for religious purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Just to show you being together and being religious has nothing to do with the body of Christ.
Amen.
Now we don't see it that explicit today. but it can be in different ways that you may not know. Get all the preachers together. Well, we have group conformity.
Yeah.
But it doesn't necessarily mean God's even in the picture at all, see?
Right, amen.
I had an invitation come to Louisville, Kentucky here a while back, and the preacher said, now here's the chance of a lifetime. Said there's going to be, in this convention meeting there'll be about 400 there. And said they want you, they'll get you to preach. Said what we do, we all go sit on the platforms and says, of course everybody's not going to be on the platform, but you will be. And when the singing starts, they'll give a break, just get right up and preach. Said I've done told them that you may be there. And the pastor said, well, tell them how we operate. They get, that's what open pulpit, they call it. Amen. And they all conform to a certain way and a certain thing. And say, this is Christ. Look how we're coming together. Amen. Well, look at this 40 here, how they came together. There was thousands there, but here was a particular 40 of the leaders. They went to the high priest and all. We're not going to eat or drink till we've slain Paul. Now, there's group conformity, religious conformity. Now, as we read a little more here, here's what they told the priest then. Now, therefore, ye with the council. The council was many, many preachers on the platform. The council was there. Therefore, ye with the council signify to the chief captain that he bring him down unto you tomorrow morning, as though you would inquire something more perfect concerning him, and we will ever come near or ready to kill him. Say, in other words, went to the chief priest and elder, say, now here's what to do. Say, you go pretend you want to talk to Paul more. And said, they'll bring him to you, and they got to come right by here, a certain place, and we're going to be there. And when they come by, we'll get him. We'll kill him. But it wasn't God's time yet, see. They would have done it in a heartbeat. And they would have had a celebration afterward. They might have had pizza or whatever they had to eat. They would have went out and celebrated.
Yeah.
We finally killed that rascal. And the chief priest was helping them do it by bring Paul down. See, they was the only one the soldiers would listen to. Didn't listen to the priest there because they ruled. That was when Rome ruled Jerusalem, and the Roman rulers there, they liked to stay in good with the chief priest because they controlled the people. Whatever they says, that's what the people done. It was group conformity. Says they'll listen to what you say, they'll bring him down, tell him that you need to talk to him. And this was the high priest, was going to be actually lying, but as long as they was conforming, doing it for a good cause, it's alright. As long as they was doing it to kill Paul, then the Lord would probably bless them extra. that was the Jewish thinking kind. And they brought him on down, or they sent for him, but see, God weren't quite ready because Paul, he had to write some letters. His work weren't quite done. He had to write down some prophecies that was for us in this day. He had already introduced the bride. Amen. Introduced the virgin to Christ. He'd already done that through his traveling, through his preaching. And there she was, introduced to Christ, see. But he knew there had to be a marriage take place. So God knew that he would lay certain things in the Word to be after the seventh church fell away and come through seven church ages that God would bring and open up and reveal to us, see. That's why the book was sealed up with seven seals. That means it went through seven church ages. But then he brought it back in Revelation chapter 10. There's your little book, see. Amen, and then we eat it, see, and we begin to prophesy. Hallelujah, that's what we're doing now, we're prophesying.
Amen.
And it's not just for the preacher, It's for the whole body, because we get the whole body, we get the whole mind of Christ, and the Bible says we reach the stature of the fullness of Christ, and so then we begin to, every member begin to edify each other.
Yeah.
Amen. We're just not here for you to hear a preacher preach a message to bless you. Amen. We're here to bless one another and to worship Christ, aren't we?
Amen.
Praise God and conform to the Word of God, because we cannot do any less, because it's Christ leading. And the Bible says, ye have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. You're baptized into one body. That one body got one mind. And you will automatically begin, as you lay aside the things of the this life that would hinder, just come more and more into the body of Christ. Now, two messages ago, I preached about last two or three, you've heard them, about the resurrection and crucifixion, one about the crucifixion. And then I follow up with a message of crucifixion and resurrection. See, we're crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live. Yet it's not us that's living, but it's Christ that liveth with us.
Yes.
And Paul said, we have the mind of Christ. Now what?
Yes.
We have the life of Christ. We have the power of Christ. We have the blessings of Christ. We have the Word of Christ. And we have the mind of Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We're not trying to conform to any certain religious ritual. I don't have to do a certain way to get you to think I'm a good person, or to act a certain way to get you to think I'm religious.
Amen.
Or to act a way to get you to think I'm spiritual.
Amen.
Or to act a certain way to try to get you to think that I'm a man of God. Amen. You just know what you know that you know.
Amen.
Right? Amen. Is that right?
Amen.
Amen. And you're not required to conform to anything. Amen. But we don't have a group conformity. We have the mind of Christ.
Amen.
And there's a big difference in group conformity and the mind of Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And a lot of places you go, if you express the mind of Christ, where they got group conformity, you're going to stand out like a sore thumb.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. But remember this, we have the mind of Christ. And the Bible says He's our sanctification, He's our justification, He's our salvation. Amen. When we're baptized into Christ, He's our all in all. And it's not necessary how much we know or how much we don't know. I don't have to try to prove to you I know anything or don't know anything. Amen. I'm in Christ. You're in Christ. We accept one another. We love one another. We believe one another. Mm-hmm. And we're certainly not trying to condemn one another. We know that it's Christ died for us. Who is He that condemned us?
Amen.
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 But what's this group conformity here now? As we read a little further, it wasn't God's time, but God had somebody listening to their conversation. When it brings them down now, we'll catch him and we'll kill him. We'll bound ourselves by no, but that's one thing. I'll bet not one of them starved to death. Amen, because they didn't kill Paul. Amen, don't even tell what happened to them, but they said, we're not going to eat or drink until Paul's dead. Well, Paul's alive 4 years later anyway. Amen. They were getting pretty hungry by then, wasn't they?
Right.
Thirsty. Amen. But see, God, He's our deliverer. See, He takes care of us.
Amen.
He was taking care of Paul.
Amen.
Glory to God. So he says here, and when Paul's sister's son heard that they laid wait, he went and entered into the castle and told Paul. Amen. See, God's got a way of getting words around. Amen. Amen. Paul's sister's son heard. Somehow, he was there at the right time and heard the right thing. It's God. It was God, because it wasn't Paul's time to go.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they would have called and killed Paul.
That's right.
Amen. I'll tell you, we read in the Word of God where Jesus went forth, preached the Word of God, and they would try to kill Him, but Jesus said, mine hour is not yet. Mine hour is not yet. And one time, Brother Brown, a woman had a vision. Brother Brown said, there's a dark shadow following you, Brother Brown. He said, I know he's there. Said, but he can't touch me until he gets through with me. Said, amen. Then in the 17th chapter of the book of St. John, Jesus said, mine hour has come. See, it wasn't time then, but mine hour has come. And then, so I got to go away, and we may get on some of that one in this weekend sometime, if not tonight. Amen. And Jesus began to tell them about being one. See, amen. You and me, I and you, be one. As I and my Father are one, you be one. And it's not by the works of man.
Amen.
It's not anything that we can do. It's what He can do. It's not group conformity. That's why we don't have certain rules. Say, you got to dress this way, you got to do that way, you got to be this way, you got to be that way. Amen. You don't have to conform, do anything like that. Amen. Because you're in the mind of Christ. You're automatically going to know where to draw lines. And the fact is, you're not going to want to do a lot of things that would dishonor the Lord. How many will say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Because, you know, that's just not in you to do it, see.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Jesus said there's some that my word has no place in them, see. Amen. They'd rather conform to a group because that's all they had, see.
Amen.
They'd rather play a religious program because that's all they could do is play religion. See? Amen. And it would soothe their conscience, make them feel pretty good about themselves. Amen. There's some people today, like some of the sisters, they wouldn't put the scissors in their hair at all because that's their salvation. Their salvation is in their hair. Amen. They wouldn't wear a dress up to the knee at all because the preacher said it should be down to their ankle, and that's their salvation. And again, they wouldn't have a television in their house at all because that's a sin. Yet they do have a lot of other things. See, amen. You can have a television in your house, but if you got Christ in you, you're going to begin some of this stuff. You're going to feel this stuff is not, this ain't what I want to put in my mind. See. How many know?
Amen.
Amen. The Holy Ghost will let you know those things. But this group here, Paul's sister's son heard them and came into the castle. Then told Paul. Then Paul called one of the centurion unto him and said, bring this young man unto the chief captains, for he has a certain thing to tell him. So he took him and brought him to the chief captain and said, Paul the prisoner called me unto him and prayed me to bring this young man unto thee who has something to say to thee. Now this is all God's working here. Then the chief captain took him by the hand. And that was an act of kindness. See, this was God in the whole thing, wasn't it? Amen. Otherwise, how'd the young man get in the castle to begin with? How'd he get up there, and how come this here man take him up to the captain, and the captain took him by the hand, a little lad, leading him through there, pulled him off the side like he was making him feel like he was a very important young lad, pulled him aside. And watch what he said. The chief captain took him by the hand and went with him aside privately. In other words, called him off. Yeah, that little fellow probably felt pretty good. Here he was with a captain of the army. The captain took him by the hand, pulled him off the side, and said unto him, and asked him, what is it thou hast to tell me? And he said, the Jews have agreed to desire thee that thou would bring down Paul tomorrow unto the council as though they would inquire something of him more perfectly. Now notice how he related that story. He remembered it and related it, telling it to this captain. And then here's what the captain said. He said to the captain, do not thou yield unto them, for they lie that he unto them, for there lie in wait for him of them more than 40 men, which have bound themselves with an oath that they will neither eat nor drink till they have killed Paul. And now are they ready, looking for a promise of thee. In other words, they're waiting for him to get the word. They're going to come over and the chief priest and all. They're looking for a promise that you'll bring him on down. And they was waiting for him. And the story goes on. It's quite a bit of it, so I don't think I'll... You might want to go through and read yourself what the end of the story was, but they got some captains. Get some men ready. Went and told those on the nation, get horses ready, get beasts ready for Paul to ride on. And they took him out of town, took him to another place that night. Amen. Just to show you how our God's a great God, isn't he?
Amen.
Amen. And it wasn't time for Paul to go. But see, these Jews, they were very righteous people, but they conformed to something, and they still do today. Amen. This is one of their holidays. Some kind of redemption for today. And Bob and I was invited to go and participate and all, but we thanked them for the invitation, but refused to go. Amen. Not that I would do anything, but see, I didn't know exactly what they would do in order to something represent the coming of Jesus Christ. Well, he's already come because he's in my heart. Mm-hmm. Oh, amen. How's he going to come back again? There, he's in my heart. When he come back again, he'll come back as king. Amen. King of kings, as a physical human being, he's here now.
Amen.
In the spirit.
Amen.
Revelation chapter 10 shows him coming back as an angelical form. Hallelujah. And the bride of Christ knows it.
Amen.
Amen. The church world look for him to come on clouds of glory and pick us up. And many of them will say airplanes will be crashing, trains will be wrecking, cars going down the road wrecking because of people going to rapture. No, he's already come. Amen. We're already translated. We are already picked up into the mind of Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. And it's not group conformity. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. We're people that have died and have resurrected. Praise God. Amen. The resurrected people are the one that goes in the rapture. Hallelujah. Now, when I'm talking to you about resurrection, remember the message the last two or three nights I've been bringing in? Amen. How that you're crucified, Paul said. When he died, when he was crucified, I was crucified with him. Why? God put you in him. Mm-hmm. Amen. And then he says, well, your life, you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God, see?
Amen.
Amen. So we're walking around dead. Dead to the world, dead to all those things, but we're alive unto God.
Amen.
Amen. Now, there's some through the church ages known of even their time, and some more may go that way, that will go by the way of the grave. Amen. They're just in the waiting. Now, they died, you know, in the sense of their physical body. Amen. But they're still alive today. Well, we have died. Amen. We're dead to the things of the world. We're dead to the flesh. Amen. But we've been resurrected. Like as Christ was raised from the dead, say.
Amen.
Amen. As you were planted with him and you were raised with him. Amen. And Paul says he's made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And here we are.
Amen.
In complete union with those that have already passed off the scene and gone on. Amen. And they haven't gone some 40 billion light years away. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, praise God. When God started moving in this direction as the Lord Jesus began to come back, the Word says the Lord Himself will descend to heaven with a shout. Amen. The message went around and around the world seven times. Amen. The voice of the archangel, that voice keep coming, bringing us into that He has for us, bringing us into the Word, and Christ is the Word. Hallelujah. And the last part of that message is called the trump of God. See? Amen. Somebody said the trump of God is just for the dead. Well, so what? We are dead and we're here and we like it.
Amen.
Is that right? Amen. We've been crucified, but that trump has raised us up from the dead. Hallelujah. Amen. And as these two worlds get closer and closer, amen, the dead and the living, hallelujah, we blend together perfectly, and the Bible says together we'll be called up to meet the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah. See? Amen. Not a one of us, not one of those coming up till we get ours, and we get ours, and they get theirs at the same time. Amen. And we're getting ours now, and they got theirs. See?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Paul said we've already come to heavenly Jerusalem. We've already come to where the angels at. And some of us have been privileged to see angels. Hallelujah. I preached the message and I listened at it again. And I got feeling pretty good about it myself. You know, Brother Brown said that when you come in contact with this Word, you meet your theophany. Amen. Why? Because the theophany is Word. It's a Word born eternal body.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well,
amen.
Praise God. Some of us have been privileged to see, and others out. But the thing is, you see the Word, you see it, see?
Amen.
Amen. You come in contact with this Word. Amen. Jesus Christ Himself came down to heaven as a mighty angel in a cloud. Nobody can see Him but the bride, see? Amen. Don't matter how much you conform to a certain belief or anything of that nature. Amen. He came close in the crowd and they can't see Him. Amen. As the Jews missed His physical coming, amen, the church have missed His spiritual coming. But the bride, she can't miss it because that's what she is. She is His coming. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And these theophanies, see, the Bible says, then He brings them with Him. Them that's dead in Christ, amen, will He bring with Him. Amen. He brought them with Him. He brought ours with Him also. Amen. Is this Word formed in us? That theophany is formed in us because that's eternal life for us. Yeah. Amen. And that's eternal life. Praise God. And God's doing something great and marvelous thing. And how could that man, Paul, say, we are made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. He said it because it was true.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise the name.
Amen.
God.
How could He say we've come to where the spirits of just men are made perfect? He said it because it's true. Mm-hmm. He said we've come to an innumerable company of angels. How come He say that? He said it because it's true.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. We're right in the middle of the greatest thing that God's ever done. Hallelujah. He's fixing to rapture His bride, change us in a moment, twinkling of an eye. Amen. Then physically, when we all get together. Amen. We're not going to even sit there to get you. Amen. We're not leaving the Joyce gets here.
Amen.
We're not leaving the some of those other saints. We could name a bunch of them, Brother Claude Loggins, and Brother Jackson, Brother Brannan, and all these saints. Amen. Well, see what it is. They're here, but just in another realm. When Brother Brannan's caught over there beyond the curtain of time, he saw those folks. He saw his wife that had departed years early. And I'll say this, and I want you to get the meaning out of it. Somebody said, do babies go to hell? And I thought that was a strange thing. Do babies go to hell? I says, well, I don't believe there'll be any babies in hell. And I don't believe there'll be any babies in heaven. Amen. Why? Because they go in that theophany. See, it ain't going to be a baby then. Ain't no, you mothers not going to have to change diapers when you get to heaven. Because when Brother Brown saw his little child that died just at a tiny age, Sharon Rose, amen, she was about just in the prime of life, just as pretty as she could be. Looked like about 22-year-old. Walked up and he had a vision there. This is on another time he was having this vision. He was kind of grieving about the situation. And he was there out west at an old Perry schooner, which is covered wagon. We know it's a covered wagon. And it had a broken wheel on it. Some of us folks, he was leaning up against it there. And here come a most beautiful young lady walking up to him. And he called her, she calls her Daddy. He looked around as though any of us would be shocked, you know. And he said, I don't understand. Why you call me Daddy or something to this effect? And she said, I'm Sharon Rose. And Sharon Rose just, I don't recall exactly how old, maybe 2 or 3 year old, maybe or something like that when she passed away. But there she was in the prime of life. That's the reason I'm saying it. They're not going to be babies there. They're going to be perfectly in the prime of life.
Amen.
Amen. And just as beautiful as can be. Amen. Oh, glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. And he said he looked down and there was his body laying on the bed. And here was he with all these people. He said, these people are real. I can feel them. And he, I think he bit himself on the hand at one time, maybe just see if it was real, you know. And he said, this is real. These people are real. Amen. They've gone into that theotomy. See, Paul wrote to us about it in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter there. He said, if this earthly house of this tabernacle be dissolved, don't worry about it. He didn't say don't worry about it, but that was it. He said, we already got a building of God waiting in the heaven. Amen. In other words, the very second we go out of this, we go into one. And there Brother Brown was, he says, sublime, or whatever word you could speak and think of, that is the most wonderful thing there is, that wouldn't even touch it. Hallelujah. And he said, over there, there's no tomorrows. There's no yesterdays or no tomorrows. Just present here, and everybody's happy. Glory to God. Well, see, that's eternal life. You're made eternal. You can't get old. Amen. And you were with him. You're no older than God. You're no younger than God. See, God ain't old. He's now. Amen. Because Moses says, what's your name? Then I can tell him what your name is. He said, I am ever present. And the Bible says he's an ever present help every time we need him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He's not God that was. He's not God that will be. He's a God that is.
Yes, Father. Amen.
Amen. Is that right?
Thank you.
Praise God. So he's made us part of that. We're the mind of Christ. We're in the mind of Christ. We're the body of Christ. So is this the mind of Christ we're in, that we have? Or are we trying to conform to a group? Or is it group conformity? Well, we all say, well, we all believe the same thing. We all good, yeah. And we say, the women, we all are dressed alike. We all are this. We were down South Carolina. Maybe some of y'all was down at this particular time. I don't know. Went over to the state that Days Inn, I believe it was. And there was a church group came in. Now, what religious system they were of, I don't know. But all the women had a white cap, white thing on. Every one of them dressed just alike. Mm-hmm. And you remember, don't you, Bob?
Mm-hmm.
Every one of them, everybody, just there's no difference in them, you know. They try to make where there's no difference. Well, if there's difference in your heart, there's difference. Amen. There's no difference if you're baptized into the body of Christ and God don't care. One of you wear overalls and another wear a $400 suit. Your heart's the same. How many will say amen?
Amen.
Amen. So that's what God's doing. The thing is that makes us one is this Word. See, because you're part of the Word, in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, see, He chose you in Him before the foundation of the world. And then He put your name on the book, see. And then as it began to work itself out here at the end time, Paul, he began to come into this, and he got in it so much that he really knew by what the people believe and the mind and how that God was bringing it together even in his day, and it wasn't going to perfection then. But even in his day, he wrote and said about some, these whose names are in the book of life.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. I'll tell you today we can see these whose names are in the book of life. Hallelujah. And it ain't, again, it's not whether everybody dress alike. It ain't whether all the women wear a certain kind of white shawl and something, a little white cap over their head, and they wear a cap to church and all that. And it ain't whether every man wear a black hat or whatever he's got, you know. Amen. It's whether you got the power of Jesus in your heart.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Praise God.
Thank
praise
you,
God.
Jesus.
So can we vaguely get it in our mind, amen, where we're at? See, if the trumpet's part dead, okay, we'll accept that. Amen, but we're dead. That's what Paul said. Amen. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. That's the same thing that applies to them that goes home. They just had to do it with this physical body stop breathing going on. But we died out to ourselves and we're still here. We're praising God. We're rejoiced. We're rejoicing with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Our vision getting brighter and brighter every day. As Solomon said, the path of a just man is as a light that shines brighter and brighter. Until that perfect day. Amen. I tell you, is this the body of Christ, or is it group conformity? Is it the mind of Christ, or is it group conformity? Amen. It's 100% the mind of Christ in a people, amen, that is the body of Christ.
Amen. Thank
can you.
Lord.
Say amen.
Amen.
Praise God. There's so much more of this, you know. The 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, that by one Spirit we're baptized into one body. And it says we become members of a body. Amen. And then it talks about Ephesians 4. Now, there say something to preach another night. Amen. It talks about Ephesians 4 when it brings us to the perfection, bring us to the full knowledge of the Son of God, bring us to the full state of Christ that we're no longer tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Amen. Says the fivefold ministry given to bring us there. And then once the fivefold ministry preaching the mind of Christ begin to come in the church, then we're all involved in the same thing.
Amen.
Amen. We're all part of the Word. We're all prophesying. Amen. The Bible says there in Revelation chapter 10, when the eighth little book, he said that they all must prophesy again. He weren't just talking to the ministry, he was talking to the body.
Amen. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen. You know why? Because when Paul wrote about in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, he said you get to the place where every member begin to identify one that every joint will supply something.
Mm.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
In other words, it's just not just the ministry. We heard a minister last night, I believe. He kept saying, God give this word to the minister. The ministry got to get it before anybody else get it. The ministry got to do this. And God's going to take this ministry. Well, that's to a point that's true, but somewhere or another it's got to involve more than the ministry. How many will say amen?
Amen.
Everybody get the mind of Christ. Everybody get the Word of God. Amen. Yes, God's got ministers out there, but it ain't the minister standing out there on the big high platform looking down on the people saying, look at me, you do what I say and you follow me. Amen. We'll have some group conformity and we'll call it the body of Christ.
Oh, my.
Amen. No. Amen. Glory to God. Tell you, this thing's real. You can't put it together. And you can't stop it from coming together. Did you hear what I said? You can't put it together and you can't stop it from coming together. Amen. It just does it because it's the Word and it's God's time, see. Amen. There are certain things that took place you couldn't stop God, cause God or pray to God to send Elijah the prophet. Amen. To restore us back. Amen. God just did it.
Yeah.
And the man couldn't even help it but by being that. Amen. Brother Brian came, he said, my will was to be a trapper. Amen. But it was his will for me to preach the gospel. One time after his wife and children died, he got discouraged and he was going to end it all. He worked for the power company. He climbed up on the pole and he looked down his way the sun shined his body in the pole there trying to make the cross there. He said, Lord, forgive me for doing this, but I can't handle it no more. Reached up and caught hold of all those thousands of boats or whatever it was. Next thing he knew, he was sitting on the ground crying. Amen. Saying, Lord, forgive. Had to get off the pole. Who knows? Amen. Praise God. I tell you, we come back in the time where God's beginning to move. Amen. You know, we was talking about going making a trip. My brother said, maybe we go on a ship, you know. I said, I like to fly with something wings. But I said, God still can. I said, but there has been time when they flew without wings.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Old Philip, if you read in the book of Acts, I believe it's 8th chapter, you read where he went down and preached to the unit down there. Amen. Baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord picked him up and he was found over in another city preaching the gospel. Now that's flying without wings.
Yeah,
sure. Amen. How did Philip learn to fly? He didn't. How do you learn to fly? You don't. But you fly anyway. That's what you're doing now. You're flying.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. How did you get a hold of that? You didn't. He gave it to you.
Amen.
Amen. How do you understand it? You did. He understands it.
Amen.
Praise God. He just lets it filter out through you. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Is that right? I tell you, is it the body of Christ? Is it the mind of Christ? Or is it group conformity to the body of people, see? Amen. No, it's the mind of Christ, and we can't help it. We can't help but believe the same thing. We can't help but see the same thing. Amen. Why? Because it's not us doing it, it's Him in us.
Amen.
See, He ain't got but one mind. He's in us. A double-minded man's unstable in all his ways, see. Amen. You think, what I want to do, what? No, somewhere we got to say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. How many knows?
Amen.
Glory to God as Jesus did that. Amen. Not my will, Father, but yours be done. Amen. See, and He works His will. Paul said He works His will in us. Amen. And it don't necessarily have to be our good pleasure to bring us this way. He does it because He chose us according to His own purpose, according to the purpose of His own good will.
Amen.
Amen. And His own good will become our good will.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah, amen. Because we're in Him, and we get to the place where we can't see nothing but Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
You,
we get to the place where He talked about, well, Paul said, Christ comes, Lord, where our life is at, see. Amen. We get to the place where Jesus, talking about the Son of Man, this in St. John 1 or 2 there, He began to talk about the Son of Man. Amen. Somebody saw angels coming up and down, going up and down to heaven, you know. Amen. Nathaniel, I believe it was. Amen. And Jesus said, what if you see the Son of Man, which is in heaven, or something to that effect. The Son of Man, which is in heaven, He was standing there, but He was in heaven. See, His body was there. See, you're here, but you're in heaven.
Amen.
Hallelujah. How many can say that? Paul, read Ephesians. Amen. Reach several other places, in heavenly places. Amen. You've come to the place where all the spirits of those that have gone, amen, are waiting for our perfection. They can't be perfected without us, and we can't be perfected without them, because we're one. And perfecting means bring to maturity, bring to fullness. Amen. The bride will go out here, not a member missing.
Amen.
Those that's dead and those that's living, they'll blend together perfectly. Hallelujah. And off to glory we'll go for 7 years.
Amen.
We've been on a long journey, but we've arrived. 7 churches have elapsed and all those things. And how many sees conformity to group conformity is not the mind of Christ? There's nothing that we don't have to try to get you to conform to anything. It's Christ in you living His life through.
Amen.
And if Christ in me living His life through me, and Christ in you living His life in you, we're all conformed to the same thing, and not because we want to or try to or anything or act a certain way. That's just what we are.
Amen.
It's Christ. Paul said, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Thank you, Lord
this
God.
Is the body of Christ and not group conformity.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this service, Lord, and this word of God, Amen. And for the anointing of God. Just pray, Lord, God, that you will take these words, use them for your glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. I love Him, and you're a member of Him. I love Him because